step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes. Oh,
yeah. All right, hello everybody, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us. I am your host, Todd Starnes, your voice of truth and hope across the fruited plain. Great to have you with us. A lot going on today, and we're going to rehash what happened last night, President Trump's address to the nation, and hearing from a lot of you in the evening hours as we were sort of analyzing this particular speech. I was stunned, and you know how these speeches go with the president. I'm an early riser, so I normally go to bed, you know, around 10 o'clock or so. I try to, at least. So I actually took a nap. I went home, took a nap. I figured I'd need a few, about an hour or so, because I anticipated that speech going well over, you know, 90 minutes, which is typically, that is pretty much the average of a Donald Trump speech. He likes to get a lot in there, and he likes to talk. Nothing wrong with that. But anyway, I just needed to make sure if it went into like the 11 o'clock hour, you know, central time, that, you know, I wasn't tired today, because you guys don't want to hear a drowsy radio talk show host. I mean, there's no fun in that. So anyway, I'm watching the speech. It was 19 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. This may be a record for President Trump. I've never heard him deliver a speech in that short amount of time. Also, if you noticed, there was a couple of very interesting things. First of all, he did not deviate that much from the prepared remarks. I mean, he pretty much stuck to that teleprompter. There were a few moments, but by and large, he stuck to the teleprompter. That has never happened before. So a lot of folks are wondering, what was last night really, really all about? What's going on there? Well, I think the administration understands that they've had a messaging problem. We've talked about this before. I think everything is heading in the right direction. As a matter of fact, the inflation report coming out earlier today, just remarkable. I mean, that's just breathtaking. People are losing their minds over that. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. But when, you know, again, I think they're stepping back. The Vanity Fair article comes out. That's been a bit of a mess for the White House. I personally don't believe it is a mess, but they're trying to do a little cleanup here. And I think the president, and if you, maybe it was just me, this was not warm and fuzzy, cuddly Donald Trump last night. This was very aggressive. And it was, I had to actually turn down the volume. He was sort of not yelling at us, but he was speaking with an elevated pitch. How's that? Okay, yeah, Dylan, technically that's yelling, but it was almost as if he was a little frustrated with the American people for not getting it. But the reality is, you know, people, it's not that they're not getting it, it's that they haven't felt that that turn yet with the prices coming down in a lot of the other areas. I mean, here locally, we're talking about how great things are with the, you know, gas prices coming down, and things are beginning to come down. Next year, when the big, beautiful bill kicks in, it's going to be a whole new whirlwind of economic glory. So I think everything on that side of it is going to work itself out. It's just going to take time. And again, the administration, you know, looking back over the past year, they could have done a better job of just controlling the narrative and getting ahead of it, knowing full well that the media was going to be against them. Everybody in the media would have been against the president, because they have been. which is a bit befuddling over what happened with this Vanity Fair piece. And again, the idea that you are giving a far left publication like Vanity Fair so much access to the West Wing. And I mean, it was what, 11 interviews? They did the big professional portraits, the whole nine yards. But this was a big messaging issue, I believe, with the administration. And I know there are a lot of, I've been listening to a lot of other talkers. I go back after the show and listen to what some of the other folks are saying in this time slot. And everybody's sort of all over the place here. And they're trying to, oh, well, Trump shouldn't have said what he said about this or that or what. Well, okay. I mean, I get it. But the reality is we've got bigger fish to fry here. So I thought the president did a good job last night. I thought he conveyed the message that he wanted to convey, is that get off my back. We're doing the job. That's pretty much what he said. The president also putting out a couple of other things here. But I love the opening. Here's what he should have done. And I would have loved this. The president should have delivered the opening line of the address and ended the speech right there, because it really would have been perfect. It was a great speech, but this would have been perfect. Cut number nine, please.
In the end, government either serves the productive, patriotic, hardworking American citizen, or it serves those who break the laws, cheat the system, and seek power and profit at the expense of our nation. Look at Minnesota, where Somalians have taken over the economics of the state and have stolen billions and billions of dollars from Minnesota and indeed from the United States of America. And we're going to put an end to it. For so long as before my election, the vast majority of good and decent Americans were forced to watch as corrupt politicians plundered the halls of power, exploited our taxpayers, and pillaged every system that makes civilized society function. But not anymore, and you see that every day, not anymore. We're putting America first, and we are making America great again. Very simple. We are making America great again.
Yeah, he is. That was my apologies. That was the wrong sound clip. But again, the opening line, he just points out, hey, look, I inherited a mess, and I'm fixing it. And look, that's good enough for me, because he inherited a complete and utter mess. And he is fixing it, and it's going to take a little bit of time, but we're heading in the right direction. The question is, will the American voters, will they be forgiving if those prices don't come down by the midterm elections? I mean, that's really the big question. The president also announcing that he's providing a warrior dividend for every American service member. I just think this is brilliant. $1,776. You got to love the price point. Cut number four.
Tonight, I am also proud to announce that more than 1,450,000, think of this, 1,450,000 military service members will receive a special, we call, warrior dividend before Christmas, a warrior dividend in honor of our nation's founding in 1776. We are sending every soldier $1,776. Think of that. And the checks are already on the way. Nobody understood that one until about 30 minutes ago.
Well, I know the military, and we have a lot of service members that listen to this program. I imagine that's going to be a mighty nice Christmas bonus for all of our fighting men and women who are doing above and beyond to keep all of us safe. God bless you for that, Mr. President. We appreciate that. I would have liked to have heard him announce that we're abolishing the income tax. I think that would have gone over, but maybe he's holding on to that as we get closer to the midterm elections. But the president pretty much laid out, here's what we have done. And here's how we have been incredibly successful. Now, I'll also throw this in. You know, the president's also been having a lot of trouble with members of his own party. The Republicans in the Senate and the House have been pushing back against the president's agenda. That's a big problem. And that's really incumbent upon all of us, because we've got to step up and we've got to light a fire under the behinds of all of our elected leaders on the Republican side of the aisle. I think it's interesting. A word came out earlier this morning because, by the way, the House was supposed to be in session until tomorrow, and then they'll be out for the rest of the year, and then they'll come back in January. So they were supposed to be voting tomorrow, and Speaker Mike Johnson sent a note out, and they're sending everybody home. So we had actually scheduled some members of Congress to be on the Newsmax show tonight. We got word, we're just flying. They're going right back home to their district because Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, canceled tomorrow's votes. I'm just going to say something here. Mike Johnson, he has to go. And I'm not saying he has to go right now. I think that bet has been made and we have to lie in it. I know MTG is talking about maybe forcing a vote. I don't think that's going to go over. I really don't. I'm not sure she'll be able to find enough members of the Republicans to go along with the Democrats. And I'm not sure she really wants that to be the lasting legacy, is that she turns over the gavel of the House of Representatives to a Democrat during Trump's second term. But that's just me. I don't think she's going to do that. If she does, well, we'll have that conversation later. But all that to say, he's got to go. And in the new Congress, after the midterms, we've got to have new leadership. This guy is a complete and abject failure. We have outlined it many, many times. But today, when just a few days ago, he was talking about in such ferocious terms, well, we're going to get really, really aggressive. And we're just going to tackle the president's agenda like a puma eating a little gazelle. We're just going to be all over that like white on rice. Oops, can I say that? You know, I'm from Louisiana, and, well, that's just how we talk down there. Don't mean nothing partial by it. But we're going to be all over the president's agenda, but we're going to wait and do that in January when we have a little bit more time to do that. But right now, we're all just going to go, and we're just going to hold hands, and we're going to sing a Chris Tomlin song together and maybe even Kumbaya. Merry Christmas, y'all. Look, I love Chris Tomlin as much as the next guy. I love Christmas celebrations and Christmas parties. There's a time and a place for all of that. Right now, we need Congress to get off their butts, to get off their blessed assurances and do their jobs. That's what we need Congress to do. I find it very interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that the do-nothing Congress has ended the year the same way they started the year, by doing absolutely nothing. It is driving me bonkers. We're just going to have to light a fire. And this is incumbent upon every single one of us in the listening audience. We've got to call our elected leaders, and we've got to give them it's time for a good come to Jesus meeting. That's what they need. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. What'd you think about President Trump's speech last night? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. You know that feeling when nausea hits and everything else just stops, like plans are ruined? You're sweaty, dizzy, you just want to curl up and disappear. Look, I've been there before, I can tell you. But let me say this. Our next sponsor has literally changed my life. It's called Relief Band. If you get nauseous, even just a little bit, it's a game changer. Relief Band is the original anti-nausea wristband that quickly relieves and actually prevents nausea and vomiting from motion sickness, anxiety, migraines, hangovers, morning sickness, even chemo. And the best part, it's 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, works in minutes before or after symptoms start, no side effects, no pills. It's seriously just a band you wear on your wrist, and you can adjust the intensity depending on how you're feeling. And it's not magic, it's science. Relief Band was developed for hospitals, FDA approved, clinically proven, and recommended by doctors, and that's why I trust it. I'm super mindful about what goes in my body, so I love that I can feel better without popping a pill. If you're still not convinced, well, Michael, a listener from Memphis, said the Relief Band is the first product that eliminated my motion sickness. I've tried the pills, the patch, the pressure bands. None of them worked like this. It's already helped over 1 million people feel better fast, and it can help you too. So if you want to cure your nausea problem fast, go to reliefband.com, use promo code STARNS, and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping. That's reliefband.com, promo code STARNS.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we have some breaking news to share. We'll check in with our friends at WSIC in Statesville, North Carolina. Again, breaking news, but there's been a major crash at the regional airport there in Statesville, North Carolina. We understand this is a private jet. Video shows a lot of first responders on the scene there. If you're in the Statesville area and you saw what happened, we'd certainly love to hear from you. But again, these are unconfirmed reports, but there are reports that a NASCAR driver may have been among the people that were on board. There is a massive fire burning at the airport there in Statesville, North Carolina. So again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Looks like a little rainy weather out there. Overcast skies from the videos that we're looking at. I will just say this. We do not want to release the name of the NASCAR driver, but the name is, there is a name floating out there. We understand that the driver and his family were on board, but we will keep you updated as soon as information is in fact confirmed. But the breaking news, a private jet going down in Statesville, North Carolina, and a NASCAR driver, his family reportedly on board that jet. So we're working our sources on the ground there in Statesville, as well as at NASCAR HQ, and we will let you know as soon as we get that information. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Salem, Oregon. Ron, listening to us on KYKN. Hi, Ron. What's going on?
Oh, I'm going to bring the bear claw up. This grizzly line is tired of weak sauce. These Republicans, promises made must be kept, should be codified in executive actions of the presidency. And yet, to hear that Mr. Johnson, Speaker Johnson, is going to forsake, let's go back in May time in 2018, 2017. Who did the same thing? Oh, that's right, Paul Ryan. See, when you start getting hot and the fire of liberty starts burning good, all of a sudden everybody wants to step back and just want to go along, get along. Just like Harmony Dillon can't get enough people through her Senate because they want to keep everybody peaceful and just and go along and pour tea and coffee and be an emotional support dog to the people that want to see her policies destroyed. Or how come the West Coast getting ready to lose three refineries and should be codifying a national security issue so that way the state of Oregon is caught between felonious Ferguson and gruesome Newsom in California, where our oil and our refined products come into? We're going to be economically destroyed when they shut those refineries down by at least $1 to $2 a gallon, an extra $3,000 a year, as much as I drive. And the question is, will the Republican parties, whether Mr. Gruter is the national chairman or even the policies in my states or the three Republican parties along the West Coast, will they get out of their cornholes and come to the light of the Lord and do what is right as our founding fathers have done for liberty?
Well, you're really fired up today, Ron. This is all ours for the winning and for the taking. The Democrats, and we've got some polling data on the Democrats. Their approval ratings are in the tank. And as I've been saying, and for quite some time, the Democrats are done, right? But the Republicans do have the opportunity to screw this up so badly that the Democrats could pull out some sort of a midterm election, you know, miracle, which is really what it's going to take here. And we're trying to prevent that from happening. Ron, thank you for your passion, my friend, and it is greatly appreciated. And we thank you for listening to us. Again, just following this breaking news story out of North Carolina, NASCAR fans are certainly going to be devastated to hear the news. We are waiting for official confirmation, but a private jet going down at the airport there in Statesville, North Carolina. WSIC is our affiliate in Statesville, and we're going to be reaching out to them to see what information they might be able to share with us, and we'll pass along all of that info to you. Coming up, Dan Bongino announcing. Actually, it's interesting. Dan Bongino is leaving the FBI. All right, so we'll leave it at that. And I have a few thoughts about that, and we're going to get to that on the other side of the break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. ToddStearns.com. We will update our website here momentarily with all the latest information coming out about that horrible plane crash in North Carolina. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hey, folks, Angel Studios is having their biggest sale of the year, and it's one you don't want to miss. Right now, you can get an Angel Guild membership for as low as $6.99 a month for 12 months, plus two free tickets to see David, the brand-new animated musical about the shepherd boy who became a king, in theaters this Christmas. A deal so good, it pays for itself. Now, listen, I talk a lot about protecting our families, what we watch, what we bring into our homes, and this is one of the easiest ways to do it. This is Angel's lowest price of the year, and honestly, it's the kind of gift that keeps on giving. Entertainment that fills your home with light, and that's something worth supporting. Go to angel.com/stars and take advantage of their biggest sale of the year. And welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We're following this breaking news story out of Statesville, North Carolina. We understand that the plane is owned by a NASCAR driver, Greg Biffle. And Dylan, I know you've been watching some of the videos coming out. I mean, this is a massive fire burning there at the airport.
Yeah, just, you know, the black smoke is just giant, and there's a lot of fire in all the videos that I'm seeing.
So we're understanding from the airport that the plane, it's a private jet. They were trying to land, and it looks like a pretty good-sized private jet. They were trying to land around 10 o'clock, 10:15, when the crash happened. They were, and we have no idea what led up to the crash. Now, the plane is a Cessna, is a C-550. It's a C-550 business owned by NASCAR driver Greg Biffle. This is coming from the Charlotte Observer. We have no idea, though, who was on the plane. We understand at least six individuals were believed to be on board. Weather conditions at the airport were adverse. That's according to AccuWeather. And that is normally a pretty critical factor when figuring out what happened in a crash like this. So that is what very little information we have right now. Statesville, about a 45-mile drive from Charlotte. Been there several times, just wonderful people there, good folks there in North Carolina. Also reporting that multiple people are dead as a result of the crash. At least five of the six people believed to be on board perished in the crash. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We've been following this crazy situation at a Brown University where police still do not know what exactly happened inside that classroom where two people were shot, 11 people, two people were shot and killed, 11 total were shot. And there is a lot of speculation now that the young lady who was killed, Ella Cook from Birmingham, Alabama, vice president of the College Republicans at Brown, was actually targeted in the attack, and everybody else that was shot, that was incidental. So that the whoever was behind all of this was literally trying to target her and her alone. The police will not say anything about the suspect. As a matter of fact, they said they're looking for a person of interest. They showed photos, which appeared to be someone who appears to be Middle Eastern, wearing what appeared to be a hijab, some sort of a head covering. A reporter yesterday asked the police department, all right, is this a male? Is this a female? You're asking for the public's help. What do you want? What can you tell us, male or female? And they replied, it's a person. Okay, that is not very helpful when you're trying to figure out who's responsible for gunning down this individual. Also, they were asked about the the erasure of a website on the university's official website that belonged to a student who is Muslim, a student who is pro-Palestine, and a student who is somehow involved in the LGBT community, which is it's a weird hodgepodge. But all of a sudden, that individual's page and information completely evaporated. It vanished. And the university says it never happened. So that the university's clearly covering something up here. So anyway, Congresswoman Kat Kamick was a guest on my radio, on my Newsmax show last night, and we had a chance to talk about what actually happened at Brown. Take a listen. Joining me now, Congresswoman Kat Kamick, good friend of this program from Florida. Good to have you with us here, Congresswoman. I just don't get this. What's your take on what we've been seeing coming out of Providence?
Well, I guess first and foremost, we have to express our condolences for the victims of this terrible shooting. And I, like you, watched that press conference and you want to talk about a crap show. Holy buckets. I mean, if it was any indication how bad it was going to be, they can't even get their own PowerPoint working to show the photos and the map of the area that they are canvassing. But what's crazy to me is none of them seem to have answers, first and foremost. But the other part of it is they don't seem to care to actually investigate, because what is popping up as evidence, they don't seem to like, or it doesn't seem to fit a political narrative. So they're not really interested, it seems, in exploring the avenues that seem to be right in front of us. So it's really, really disheartening, especially for the victims' families, because at the end of the day, everyone wants to get to the truth. But if they're more interested in tiptoeing and walking around on eggshells rather than, quote unquote, hurting people's feelings, that's just really, really sad. And it doesn't serve justice for the victims or their families.
You know, right now at Olivet Nazarene University, there are reports they're investigating a situation where the Turning Point USA chapter leaders have been getting death threats so serious that one of the campus leaders has had to leave campus as a result of that. Yesterday, Senator Tommy Tuberville said he believes that Ella Cook, who's the vice president of the Brown University College Republicans, was, quote, targeted by the gunman for her political beliefs. How concerned are you that this could very well be the possibility, and the fact that kids are getting death threats now because of their conservative politics?
Well, it's a continued escalation that we see all across the country on all college campuses. What used to be a space where students could debate freely and really dig into issues has become really an area where you have zero tolerance, which is ironic given that these are mostly the same crowd that drive around in Toyota Priuses with coexist bumper stickers on the back of them. But they really have no interest in, quote unquote, coexisting. They just want to shut down and shut up people who have differing viewpoints. And so when it comes to the safety and security of all students on campus, they're really only talking about one type, right? I have had interns on our campaign, but also in our office, our congressional office, who say they've had professors say, hey, maybe you should leave class early so you don't get beat up. Of course, we've heard for years where students are writing papers with a liberal slant so that they get a better grade, because if they write what they truly believe, then they fear that they'll get retaliated against by their professor. You've seen the hazing and the harassment of students on campus and the escalations of violence. It is absolutely a possibility that this student was targeted because of her conservative beliefs, which is all the more reason that we need to be getting down to the facts instead of tiptoeing around this ridiculous, politically correct investigation, when we just need to find out who did it, why they did it, and bring them to justice. That is exactly what needs to happen.
It's really that simple at the end of the day. It's really that simple. Here's Democrat Senator Sheldon Whitehouse, represents Rhode Island, said this today about the shooting. Let's watch.
There is simply no need, from an investigative point of view, for people who have no idea what they're talking about to offer their stupid and ill-informed views about what happened all over the internet. So I would please, just from a law enforcement perspective, ask anyone who sees this to just shut up.
Your reaction to that, Congresswoman?
Well, it goes right to what I was just saying, Todd, in that the left, their MO has been to yell at you and shut you up. And that's in order to shut you down. I mean, that is what we're seeing across college campuses everywhere. The harassment and the hazing and intimidation of conservative students on every single college campus. And I do find it ironic that, again, this is supposed to be the side that preaches tolerance and peace, but they don't want to hear it. And when they talk about letting law enforcement do their job, for Pete's sakes, when a reporter asked, why was there not the critical incident, the mass alert go off in campus? They said, oh, an active shooter situation is not considered a use case for our emergency system. Yet you go on the website for that system and they're like, yeah, actually, this is one of the incidences when it would go off. Law enforcement isn't answering the question. So I think the senator would be best to really reflect on his comments. And if he's very serious about getting justice and getting the facts and helping law enforcement, well, then maybe untie their hands so they feel like they can actually investigate and do their job, because it's clear that people just don't do this out of, you know, hey, it's a Thursday and we're going to go shoot up a school. No, there are motives behind people's actions. And in this case, we believe that this person was targeted. And so we need to follow up on that. But again, I think the political correctness that we're seeing, this is no surprise given the state that it occurred in, which is truly sad. And again, I think that if we are going to get to law and order the way that President Trump has really worked tirelessly to get us into that space back again, we have to let law enforcement do their job rather than worrying about whose feelings we're going to hurt and make sure that the facts are being followed. But right now, man, they just can't seem to get out of their own way.
No, they can't. And again, we're dealing with a lot of diversity hires. We're dealing with a far left university. Less than 1% of the student population identifies as conservative. So we're talking about just a handful of kids on a campus of some 14,000 students where you have conservatives. Everybody else far left, radicals, radically aggressive people here. And there's been a lot of threats made at a lot of students around this nation. And we need to find out. I know Senator Tommy Tuberville announcing that Ella was actually targeted. Jack Posobiec, talking to his White House sources, he said that he was told that she was the only target. All of these other folks were accidental. But the gunman fired multiple shots at Ella and wanted to take her out. We have not been able to confirm that information, but that is the reporting of Jack Posobiec, quoting sources from within the White House. This is troubling, ladies and gentlemen, for a very simple reason. It means that every single conservative kid on every campus in America is no longer safe, and we cannot sustain a country like that. We just cannot do that. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98, and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right. Welcome back, everybody. So yesterday afternoon, President Trump announced that someone asked him a question about Dan Bongino, who is the deputy director of the FBI. And Trump said at the time, he was on the tarmac and doing the Q&A with the press pool. And he said, yeah, you know, he really felt like Dan wanted to go back to doing his podcast and, you know, his other activities. And then about an hour or so later, we actually got the official word that Bongino was leaving. So we don't know if President Trump resigned on his behalf or what played out there. But the president announcing it and then Bongino coming out and saying, yeah, I'm done here. I'm, you know, going back. And it's no secret that Bongino was very unhappy. And there was an early on, if you remember this interview, there was an interview he did early on with Fox News Channel where he talked about, my takeaway was he was just miserable. You know, he was not, you know, he lives in Florida, missed his family, his wife, you know, and I mean, I get it. Washington, D.C. can be a dark, dreary, gray place. I understand. And I don't think that Bongino was able to do the work he wanted to do. There are reports that at times he was I would just say difficult to work with. He certainly had opinions and he had no problem sharing those opinions. And there were times when he announced that he was quitting. I mean, this shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody, because early on he was talking about resigning, and I think they finally just took him up on his offer. And if nothing else, I think there had been a lot of fight, a lot of conflict between him and Pam Bondi, and it looks like Bondi won out. All that to say, we don't know what's been going on in the FBI and the Justice Department, but it's not working. And I think the president's getting a little frustrated with it. Clearly, Susie Wiles is, based on the Vanity Fair article. Oh, it's interesting. One thing about that Vanity Fair article, the White House is really pushing back over all of this. They're not disputing anything is inaccurate. They're just stating that they didn't publish all the nice things she said about people. So there's something else going on. There is a dynamic that is unfolding inside the White House, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. But there's something very unsettling happening, and we're going to talk about it. But the question now is, what does Bongino do? You know, they got somebody to replace him. I've been getting calls from our radio station affiliates because Bongino hosted a show noon to three. And then he threatened to quit, and then he didn't quit. He unquit, and then he quit again to go work for the White House. And a lot of people are wondering, is he going to come back? And I don't know. I don't have a clue. But all I know is that our affiliates are sticking with our show, and we're mighty thankful for that. Now, I just want to say something about talk radio in general, and we'll talk more about this at another time. But I know Scott Jennings, you know, the CNN political pundit guy, he just got hired at noon to three, four, or noon to two. He's only doing a two-hour show. They're getting somebody else to fill in for the other hour. And that's all well and good. And look, I say welcome and good luck to all of you folks. But I just want to tell you something about doing talk radio. It is hard work, and it requires a lot of effort. You can't just go in and sit down and turn on a microphone and start talking. And a lot of people think, oh, well, I've got a podcast. I'll be a great radio host. Or I'm a TV pundit. I'm on CNN, the least watched cable television station in America. I can be a radio star. Okay, good luck to you. Because radio is a lot different than TV, and it's a lot different than podcasting. And some people think that you just sit down and you scream at people. And all you do is talk about how bad the Democrats are and how, you know, how great the Republicans are. And that's your show. That's not it. That's not it at all. And you cannot come into a show like the one we do with talking points from a political party. You just can't do that. My allegiance is to you, the great audience of this great program we've been doing for 8 years now, and also to my advertisers, my sponsors. That's who my allegiances are to and my loyalty is to. All these other folks, it's all transactional. Every single one of them. All these politicians, it's all transactional. And I know these folks. I know a lot of the people in the business, and a lot of them love the limelight. They love going to the highfalutin parties and eating the caviar and drinking the fine wine, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. But you know what? For me, I'm just as home in Waterloo, Iowa, sitting down to a fried pork tenderloin sandwich as I am being at the White House and eating a chocolate chip cookie provided by the president's executive assistant. And I love it all and everything in between. But most importantly, radio is about relationships and the fact that we actually do care about you folks. We do. And when you call in and you talk to us or our call screeners, we don't just slam down the phones. Our call screeners have a conversation with you because that's what we do here. We're sort of doing life on this radio show. So anyway, I don't know what Bongino's going to do. Probably the podcast. He may come back to radio. I don't know. Well, one thing about us, we're consistent. Every single day, Monday through Friday, we do our show 3 hours a day. We take calls from our listeners. We talk about the big issues of the day. And believe it or not, we even share a few laughs or two. And we'll be right back, America.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right, well, hello everybody, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, hour two, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Great to have you joining us. It is a very busy breaking news day, and this horrible story coming out of Statesville, North Carolina, home to our wonderful affiliate, WSIC, a private jet reportedly owned by NASCAR driver Greg Biffle has crashed. There are multiple fatalities. That's according to the Sheriff's Department there. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to the owner of WSIC, Justin Kazepas. Justin, we appreciate you joining us. I can't even imagine the horrors out there at the airport. Can you tell us what you know at this point?
Hey, Todd. Appreciate you letting me on. It's with sadness I have to let you and the entire listening audience know that our sources here locally, right, because we are within that local community of, and some sources close to the family, that Greg Biffle, his wife Christina, and both children, unfortunately, were believed to be on that aircraft that has crashed. And so, obviously, hearts devastated, thoughts, prayers. If you're someone who prays, if you're not, give it a try. But if you are, right now would be a good time.
Do we have any idea what happened?
Yeah, nothing as far as, you know, any malfunctions or anything. I don't have any details on that, but as far as the plane itself and who on it. This morning here, I'll just say weather-wise, there was a bit of a mist and a good bit of fog just locally this morning that kind of hasn't been here for a couple of days. And for those who know, Greg Biffle, obviously a historic NASCAR career and racing career, but I'll tell you, Todd, when Western North Carolina got hit by Hurricane Helene, I don't know if anybody championed as loudly, as often, and as direct to the needs of the people as Greg Biffle and his family. And so it's certainly something that hits home, and you remember that on a day like this.
No doubt about it. And again, this all happening around 10:15 local time this morning. The plane going down. There have been some, again, unconfirmed reports that the plane had taken off. There had been some sort of a mechanical issue. They were coming back in for a landing, and that's when apparently, you know, this, all of this happened. We have videos up at toddstearns.com, and it's just horrifying. A lot of fire, a lot of smoke coming from the crash site itself. And I think a lot of people are, you know, reacting to this word coming out. And, of course, you just confirmed the news for us. But Greg was really a humanitarian. And I think that's one of the things that really endeared him to so many people, especially there in Western North Carolina after Hurricane Helene.
And really with, you know, having his access and skills and knowledge in how to fly into these kind of tight places, right? Because he's going in there with some small planes into an area that was devastated and bringing in supplies. And he was the one really who had a lot of that footage to really inform the entire country at that time what was really going on in Western North Carolina at, clearly, if you think back to that time frame, a pivotal point in our country.
Justin, I'm curious. I know Statesville is a good-sized town, but I'm wondering, what are people talking about? I have to imagine this is the big story there in Statesville.
Well, to be honest with you, Todd, it's one of those things where, hey, happy Thursday to you. This is terrible news that we're gonna let you know about. It's again, we're in the middle of the week, and when just something like this happens, you definitely stop and you say to yourself, man, what happened? And so. I think there's still a lot of pieces being put together. Obviously, like you said, there's different reports coming out and all that, but certainly a time of tragedy locally.
Well, it is. And again, we really appreciate you phoning in real quick here, Justin, giving us the lay of the land locally. This regional airport there in Statesville where this private jet went down. Justin, thank you again. Appreciate your reporting on this.
Todd, we so appreciate you. Grateful for the show. You know, WSIC and everyone there around Statesville and Greater Lake Norman are absolutely nuts about you, and we're wild folks, so we appreciate you.
Well, likewise, and that feeling is mutual. Justin Kazepas, everybody, owns a great radio station there in Statesville, WSIC. And we'll keep you updated throughout the afternoon on this terrible tragedy. Certainly NASCAR fans just devastated by this news. Well, I want to set up our next guest here. He is just a wonderful, great American patriot. This young man, a student at Olivet Nazarene University and a part of the TPUSA organization there. And this young man has received so many death threats and apparently very credible threats on his life that he had to leave school, finishing school off campus for the semester. I wanted to bring into the conversation, you heard Congresswoman Kat Kamek and I talking about Jacob York in the last hour of the program. Jacob joins us by phone today. Jacob, good to have you on the show.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
All right. Jacob, first, I just want you to take us through what happened to you. So you've got TPUSA there. You're the chapter president there?
Yeah, I'm the chapter president at the unofficial club at Olivet. We're recognized by the Turning Point organization. We are not an official club at Olivet. However, we do some things off campus and whatnot, and then do some informal gatherings and such. But yeah, the whole situation kind of picked up right around Thanksgiving, where we had our first event off campus. It was a big hit. Shortly thereafter, I did an interview with Fox News the Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. And then on Thanksgiving morning, I got an anonymous DM on Instagram of someone who was very violent and very vulgar and was calling me a racist and saying they wanted to kill me and all these other things. And so that's kind of when the situation picked up, and that same account then DM'd the TPUSA at ONU Instagram, said something very similar, and then DM'd me again a week later. So then I had to be moved off campus because it's hard to figure out who those anonymous accounts are really quickly.
Yeah, I want to read what was written, and I have a couple of questions for you. This is the message you received. I'm going to find you in Chapman and slit your throat in your sleep if you keep posting racist blank like that. Please post your God and Savior Charlie Kirk one more time. So tell me, Chapman, is that a dormitory? Is that a location on campus?
Yeah, that's a freshman male building, as far as I'm aware, on campus. And yeah, it's pretty central in the main area of campus.
So how would this individual know that you would actually be in that particular building?
Yeah, so to my knowledge, it would appear that it would be some sort of student, or at least somebody who knows some general information about Olivet. I mean, who knows, though? This could be a guy from all the way across the world who just did a little bit of research and wanted to say one thing after he found one thing on the website. It's really hard to tell, but just often the language, and then there was also multiple comments on my personal Instagram are like, hey, we don't want you here. Please leave our campus. Please transfer, stuff like that. And it would appear that it's somebody who's at least familiar with Olivet to at least some degree. But yet, genuinely just, I mean, it's a shocking moment when you receive something like that and hard to put into words for sure.
I can't imagine now. And tell me, what year are you there at the school?
I'm a sophomore here. I just transferred in. This is my first semester at Olivet. I was at a Division II school where I played baseball last year in UW Parkside, University of Wisconsin Parkside last year. So this is only like my fourth or fifth month on campus.
Wow. Welcome to Olivet Nazarene. Jeez aloo. what a welcome. Now, are you playing ball there as well?
I am, yeah. I'm very, very happy with the team, very happy with the coaching staff. It's going to be a great experience. And, yeah, they are all super supportive of me and have loved me very well throughout this process.
But, again, you literally had to leave campus. Tell me about that. Why was that decision made?
Yeah, just because you obviously can't really tell over social media. Like, someone can obviously say something like that but never have any intention to do anything, but also they might have some intention in doing something harmful to me, or actually just whatever they said they actually want to do to me. So in a situation like that, you kind of have to just be over precautious and whatnot, and just take those certain measures to make sure nothing bad would happen. I mean, we live in a very evil and sinful world, and when you're in a world like that, people could do anything, and especially if we don't know who it is. I mean, it could be a student I have a class with every single day, or it could be someone all the way across the world. We just really don't know, and so you just have to take the extra measure to be a little bit more safe while still continuing to fight the fight that I truly do believe in and I want to spend the rest of my life fighting.
I think that, well, and it's, I mean, what a great thing to say, and I think it's a great way to look at it. I think for a lot of people, they're saying, wait a second. Olivet Nazarene, this is a Christian school. I think it's going to shock a lot of people to know that this kind of stuff is actually happening there at a Christian school campus.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting way to look at it, because I think oftentimes when you look at colleges and you look at churches or whatever it might be, and you're like, oh, well, they have the name Christian attached to it, so there's no sin and there's no evil there. Well, we're all sinful, and we all fall short of the way that we should honor God with our actions, with our words, and our thoughts. And with that being said, there's evil everywhere. So I wouldn't necessarily categorize that, oh, that this is a, you know, Olivet Nazarene problem. I disagree with the fact that we're not recognized as a TPUSA chapter, but that's a totally different situation. I definitely think that there's things about Olivet that I would change, but it's because I love my school. I think it's a great, it was the best decision I ever made going there. And I love my school and I want to fight for it, but I do think that there are things that I disagree with the school that I think that we can impact and we can change and we can get to the place that we want it to be. But yeah, there's just evil everywhere. There's evil in your neighborhood. There's evil in your churches. There's evil in Christian colleges. And it's the best thing that we can do, and this is what I keep telling people, is just talk and love everybody. And the way you love everybody is by having conversation and disagreeing well. And that's exactly what Charlie Kirk stood for. Charlie Kirk's main message was, the moment you think somebody's so evil that you can't talk to them, that's the moment that violence ensues. I'm sure this person would never want to talk to me in person, face-to-face, because they think I'm so evil and so terrible that they just want to end me permanently. So when you have conversations like that, it shows a matter of respect, but also dignity in what you stand for and the truth that you want to spread to the rest of the world.
Well said. And we're talking to Jacob York today. He is the president of the unofficial TPUSA chapter at Olivet Nazarene University. Your parents, I have to imagine, they're probably a little on edge. How are they handling all of this?
Yeah, I love my parents. They're a great resource and just so much wisdom to gain from them and from this process. And it's been so cool. Just even before all the threats and before it became a somewhat unsafe situation, I was leaning on them, talking to them every single day. I'm very close to my parents, and my dad has a life in ministry. He's a pastor, so I've seen how evil people can be to people in leadership positions and people who just want to spread the truth to the rest of the world. So this is nothing unfamiliar for me or them to some extent, but it is a little bit of a different realm, especially for a 20-year-old who's a sophomore in college. However, I have the best parents in the world. I say that to everybody. And so They're not perfect, but they definitely have raised me in a way that I can rely on them, and we're going through this process together. It's not me alone in this situation.
No, well, I'm glad to hear that, and that's a huge thing. The police department clearly taking it seriously. The university appears to be taking it very seriously as well. Again, with whatever happened at Brown University, and we've heard the reporting about the college Republican vice president there who was one of the victims, I think it's also a reminder that, yes, there is a lot of evil, but you also have to be prepared and be on guard at all times, because you never know when, you know, somebody might try to manifest one of these threats.
For sure. And I was talking to some people who were running for Congress last night and running for governor, and we were having some conversation kind of about this idea of, like, just always keeping a lookout. Like, it's crazy that we have to live in a world that you have to be careful walking in your car. And, like, for me, for the last couple of weeks on campus, I was looking around and making sure nobody was following me from place to place. And when I would go to my apartment, I would make sure that nobody was following me in the building. And you have to be really, really careful about that stuff now. And it's crazy to put that in reality, because just a year ago, this stuff was, of course, important to me, but I never expected I'd be stepping into a situation like this or even speaking about all this kinds of stuff. So it's just an interesting world. It's fascinating, but you definitely understand, at least for me, when I read the New Testament and I read about the Apostle Paul and I read Philippians about to live as Christ and to die as gain, in the situation that he was going through, it is a lot more like real in some sense, because I feel like I'm experiencing that to some extent of this persecution, whether it be spiritually or socially or politically or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it's definitely a crazy world to live in, and it's a crazy reality to come to terms with.
Well, it is. And Jacob, you sound like a great young man. You've got a good head on your shoulders, and you've got great parents, a great support team. I know that our radio audience is going to be praying for you and praying for your safety. And we're going to be, we pray for all of the young conservative kids around America, because again, you guys should not have to, this is not normal, and it can't be, it cannot be the new normal. We have got to get back to a country where we can agree to disagree without killing our enemies, and that, or the people we disagree with. We have got to do that. I've got about 30 seconds. I want to give you the last word. How can people pray for you, Jacob?
I would just say that, pray for myself, but others like me who sometimes struggle with the courage to stand up for this fight that we need to. And it only takes a couple people to rally behind the truth to make some noise. I'm a 20-year-old kid who started this 4 months ago, and look where we are now. And there's so many other opportunities and doors opening. So just pray for courage and pray for people to be unashamed of the truth in all situations.
All right, there you have it, everybody. Jacob York, he is a student at Olivet Nazarene University, baseball player, president of the unofficial TPUSA chapter. And Jacob, God bless you. Be safe. Watch your six. And we got your back as well here on this radio show.
God bless you as well. Thank you for having me.
All right. Got to take a quick break. Wow, what a great kid. You see, this is why we do this show. You know, a lot of people, they're like, why do you do this every single day? It's because of kids like Jacob. Because we want to, they need somebody that has their back, and that's what we do. And I'm telling you, I've got such great hope for this country because of kids like you just heard here. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on Marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
All right, let's go right to the phones. Doug in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Doug, what's on your mind?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, I have to tell you, I love your show. Everybody should be watching it. I loved Limbaugh. You are Limbaugh for our age. And what you're doing, spreading the message, is everything we need to get people to vote for the midterms. And so you're so powerful, and we really appreciate it. So here's my message today. How is it that we can't trace these death threat calls. I mean, when I was a kid, you probably remember, you're a little bit younger than me, we would make prank phone calls. Well, as soon as there was caller ID, that stopped. With all the technology, with AI, am I to believe we can't trace where these calls are coming from? I mean, this is ridiculous. Either the big tech companies are holding back, not wanting to protect conservatives, or somebody's, I mean, this should be I want to hear Trump say this should be a national endeavor. Eliminate all death threats because on social media by people knowing, hey, you make a death threat, we know where you are. We can trace that back to you instantaneously. I mean, is that so? I'm incredulous that this isn't already a technology in play, that a young kid like that, 20 years old, with so much to offer, has to leave school? I mean, this is ridiculous. Your comments?
Yeah, Doug, you're absolutely right. I'm going to have to answer your I'm going to have to respond to you after the break here. The computer's going to cut us off. Thank you for those kind words, Doug. That just means the world to me. We love all of our great listeners. We will respond right after the break. Stick around.
I'm Martha Stewart, and I believe the best gifts are not only beautiful, but useful every single day. And Lennox has brought timeless beauty and lasting quality to our tables for generations. And their Lennox Spice Village is the perfect holiday gift for someone you love or for yourself. Spice Village transforms everyday spices into inspired memories filled with warmth and joy all year long. Give a gift that lasts beyond the holidays. Discover the collection at Lennox.com/Spice Village.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. This is an interesting report, and I should have warned Luke Symbol, our Republican strategist, about this. Luke, just prepare yourself.
Oh, no.
This is a report out of Hamtramck. I think I got this right. It's Hamtramck, Michigan. The city council there has voted to allow Islamic animal sacrifices in local neighborhoods. Cut number 8, please.
Our city is dirty enough. We don't want to make more dirty.
Debates raged on for at least 3 hours at Hamtramck City Hall over the new ordinance of sacrificing animals.
Really ridiculous, catastrophic resolution.
If it's not passed, then we are ready to take it to the court for the religious rights. It is constitution.
This was the second debate of the new ordinance, and there was a crowd outside of the City Hall chambers filling out cards to speak, and they were watching it on closed-circuit TV.
No, it's not safe or sane or humane, because basements or kitchens or backyards are not suitable places for live animal slaughter.
Many people, including Muslim residents, were against it, citing sanitary concerns if the animals are sacrificed in a home and not in a sterile environment, especially in the tight-knit neighborhoods of Hamtramck. The ordinance that was passed on Tuesday night says religious sacrificing of animals can be done as long as it is done legally and humanely.
I think it's the best compromise. We don't want to restrict religious freedoms, and we don't want to keep it random without regulations.
Many Muslims pay a butcher to perform the religious sacrifice, but for some families, it's just not practical, says Nawar Ali with CARE Michigan.
A lot of families will typically do it in the confines of their property, like in their backyard, their garage, and again, dispose of the animal accordingly.
What happened to all the cats? What happened to all the cats in the neighborhood? Where'd they go?
I want to see the liberal white woman reaction to this, right? They want to bring in all the other cultures. They want to bring in all the other races from everywhere else to de-white America. And now they want to sacrifice the puppies. So where are the liberal white women in their outrage?
Well, just remember, and Dylan, you know what you're going to have to find here, because President Trump caught so much flack on the campaign trail. But when he was talking about Springfield, Ohio, they're killing the cats.
Yep.
They're killing the dogs. Remember that?
Oh, I remember. It's
and
true.
Everybody said, oh, he's off his rocker. No, they're literally sacrificing animals, for God's sakes, in Michigan.
You know, I grew up in Rochester, New York, great little Rust Belt town that New York decided wanted to have all of these refugees and all these migrants move to because apparently there were too many white people. And I will never forget, my dad had a storefront in suburb of Rochester, and we walked around the back of the storefront, and the my dad's storefront was next to an ethnic restaurant. We walk around the back of the building, and there was a Chrysler minivan with the hatch up and a goat hanging from it, and they were cutting pieces off of the goat in the back of the parking lot for the restaurant.
I'm not a big fan of cats, but, you know, Fluffy doesn't deserve to be sacrificed.
Fluffy does not deserve it. And frankly, America doesn't deserve to have to put up with this. This is ridiculous, and it's the fault of our leaders.
You know, we got
to
hear this.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country.
It's true.
When
you look at, and this was, they were talking about this last night on Newsmax, how Australia, France have already canceled Christmas events, big public events, and New Year's Eve celebrations, and now Germany. And the reason why is because they cannot guarantee the safety of the people, you know, the Christians and the non-Muslims that are going there to celebrate.
We have let in more Muslims from radical countries who hate us post 9/11 than all years of this country's history pre 9/11. It's unacceptable. And I think people are finally starting to wake up. And if you don't want to feel like you have to guard Fluffy or guard, you know, I have two French bulldogs. Do I need to start guarding them at all times? I can't let them in the backyard alone.
What about the Peabody ducks?
Oh, the ducks.
The poor ducks at the Peabody Hotel.
They can host a little slaughter up on the rooftop. I mean, is that where we're going as a country?
Apparently, yes. And I think, you know, years ago, I asked a question. I got so much trouble. I always get in trouble for things I say, but they always turn out to be accurate, right? I mean, I don't know. I've got this knack about reading the culture.
Yes.
And I told somebody at the time, you know, if you were to sit down and talk to a leftist, the moral high ground would be to allow the Islamic radical to explode a nuclear device in New York City rather than profile that individual.
You're exactly right.
I mean, that's really, and that's where we went. You know, people were laughing at the time, but they would literally not pull out Muslims from TSA checkpoints because they did not want to profile. Instead, they were, you know, manhandling grandmothers and little five-year-old girls.
Well, you wrote a whole book about this. Culture jihad, right? I mean, it was a really great, and what we need to understand is when people move to this country from, frankly, backwards country, honestly, third world backwards countries that are super unsuccessful, they don't suddenly adopt our way of life. They don't suddenly understand the importance of the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, our freedoms. They don't, you know, our country's founding stems all the way back to the Magna Carta. It's been taught over generations and generations. And when you have this mass influx of people, they don't share our views.
Well, they don't. And again, it's not unfair or unkind to share facts. But when you have someone like Ilhan Omar saying that Somalia immigrants made America great, that is just simply not accurate. When 90% of them in Minnesota are receiving some form of government assistance, so it is not accurate to say that. And we are watching, for example, in Michigan, Hamtramck used to be a Polish city, a Polish town.
Yep.
Every single person on the city council is now Muslim. And when you look at places, for example, even in Tennessee, I was flying back from an event somewhere, and from D.C., it was a direct flight. I was the lone non-Indian on the flight coming back to Memphis. And again, it's just this massive immigration, so much that folks do not want to assimilate. And that's the issue. It's not so much we've got immigrants coming in. They refuse to assimilate.
Well, and in 1925, when we shut down immigration because America was so appalled with the mass migration that was happening then from Eastern European countries in Italy and Ireland, and they were just kind of concerned. People weren't assimilating. We shut down immigration, and we had intensive assimilation through our public schools. Pro-American lessons, greatest country in the world. Even the songs were patriotic in theme. Really, we were assimilating people, and our kids were becoming patriots. And now our public schools do the opposite.
Yeah.
They teach us to hate America. They teach our kids that America is a fundamentally evil country. And so when you don't have that planned assimilation combined with mass migration, it's a recipe for disaster.
To that point, I want to play some audio here. This is from a high school kid, And he's explaining, he's appearing before his school board to explain how racist it is against white people in his school. Cut number two.
But you must admit how uncomfortable it will be to be characterized just by your skin color on the first day of school and be thought that you were wrong just because of your skin color. So I'll never forget the look one of my friends gave me from across the room as we were sitting there listening to this blatant bias being expressed in the so-called equity statement by the leader of our school. To be clear, I don't need you to tell me that I matter. But hearing the condolences given to other races and leaving just one race out, it inevitably you'll start to feel like you've done something wrong. And in our principal's attempt to unify us, he instead created unwarranted boundaries and barriers between his students, pitting us against each other based on characteristics that we can't control. RHS administration confidently told me that RHS students and staff are happy with their equity statement. But from my experience in talking with other students, this is not the case. I know many kids who disagree with their teachers, but they're too scared to stand up because they're worried that their grades will be docked and their learning experience will be affected. My honors government teacher, I'm not going to say his name, but he's mentioned that Democrats care more about all people while Republicans only care about themselves. And he's also inferred to us that socialism is better than democracy. He even had a statue. He had a statue of a socialist leader in his classroom. I've been told by a lot of kids that they just stay silent and adjust their schoolwork to reflect an acceptable opinion to secure a good grade. I've been approached by multiple teachers who have told me in private that they just want to say that they agree with me and they support me standing up, but they can't say it in front of the class for fear of being disciplined by the administration in some way or losing their jobs. There is clearly only one way to think in this district, and that is that they are teaching their kids to shut up if they don't agree. Now, members of the board, I want you to take a good look at yourselves in the mirror tonight and ask, are you really standing up for the equality of all people, or are you just pushing a damaging political ideology?
Your reaction to that, Luke Symbol?
I believe him 100%. It is happening across this country. It is so bad that the EEOC chair yesterday, Andrea Lucas, issued a public service announcement saying, are you a white male who has experienced discrimination at work based on your race or sex? You may have a claim. Finally, the federal government is saying, nope, civil rights are for all people. Civil rights don't just apply to you if you're black or brown. They apply to all people, and you cannot hire based on race. You cannot make decisions based on what somebody looks like. And finally, we're returning to that fundamental principle, and he is exactly right. The so-called inclusion movement focuses on the things that divide us, the things that make us different, rather than focusing on the unique things that make us Americans, that rather than focusing on the things that bring us together. It's incredibly divisive, and we're seeing it turn with this administration. Thank God. I just hope that it's not too late.
Yeah, you and me both, because this is out of control, and you've got a generation of white young men, especially, that have been cast aside, and they've been told they don't matter, and even to make matters worse, they've made this world a worse place simply for being born.
Yep.
And I really shudder to think what that's going to do to the psyches of these kids, you know, as they get older.
There were two somewhat high profile, unfortunately, suicides just here in the Memphis area of two young white men in their 20s the past month. I attended one funeral here. And there was another one a week before, and they were recent college graduates who felt hopeless and dejected. And I can't help but feel that part of the reason for that is because they have been told that they don't matter, that because of their so-called because of the so-called patriarchy, because of their history, because they are historically been more advantaged, apparently, that they don't deserve the same equal opportunities as somebody who doesn't look like them. It's really, really horrible. And like I said, I appreciate what this administration is doing. I appreciate what the Civil Rights Division is doing at the DOJ, refocusing, saying, nope, civil rights are for all people, not just a select class. I just hope it's not too late.
Look, I want to put your prognosticator hat on. Let's take a look at the midterms here. President Trump giving the big speech last night, 19 minutes, sort of laid it all out. Here's what we've done, people. And it seemed to me like he was almost a little frustrated that we haven't gotten it. And so he had to come out and say, here's what we've done.
Look, it's about the economy. And you've been saying this, you've been screaming this from the rooftops. Republicans, focus on the things that are affecting the lives of just normal Americans. It's the kitchen table issues. It is the price of groceries, which are going down. It's the price of energy, gas. gas is going down, but electricity is way too high. And yes, it is immigration, the increased housing costs due to mass migration that our most vulnerable Americans are having to compete for jobs. And so if they're saying the big, beautiful bill, a lot of those effects, Scott Bessent all over the airwaves this weekend saying as those things start to kick in next year, the midterms are going to go well with us. I think that's what it depends on. We got a great inflation report earlier. Inflation was lower than expected, the lowest point since I think the beginning of 2021. So I think things are starting to turn. The question will be, do they turn enough before the midterms for Americans to say, yes, we feel the relief that we've been promised?
That's the big question. And look, if the economy turns, I think we're going to do very well, and yep, we will buck that trend, because the Democrats, they're in the toilet. And we're going to play some audio in the next hour from CNN. The Democrat approval ratings, it's a disaster.
Yep, and I want all of these podcasts, you know, podcasting is not necessarily real life. Folks do not care about the fight between Candace Owens and Turning Point and Tucker Carlson and all of this. What we need to focus on are the kitchen table issues. You've been doing it, Todd. Not enough people are doing it. And so we need to keep holding our politicians' feet to the fire, saying, let's focus on the things. Let's focus on prices. Energy prices are really big right now. I'm hearing it across this city and across the country. Our electricity prices are way too high. What is this administration going to do to address it?
And some breaking news from Capitol Hill. Congressman Chip Roy and Congressman Keith Self, both from the great state of Texas, the Lone Star State, have officially launched a new caucus. It's called the Sharia Free America Caucus. They're saying that Sharia is antithetical to our Constitution, to the Declaration of Independence, and to the rule of law. So at least two members now joining the Sharia Free America Caucus.
Fantastic. I think it will resonate.
I certainly hope so, because they're right. Look, Islam is not compatible with Western civilization.
Amen.
I've been saying it for years, and better wake up, folks. Better wake up. Luke, good to see you.
Good to see you, Todd.
All
thanks.
Right, Luke Symbol, everybody. Got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. And welcome back, everybody. Great to have you with us today. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Very excited about next week, our Christmas Day show. 3 hours, it's all Christmas. You're going to love it. We're going to have a great time together. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Jerry in Iowa, listening to us on KXEL. Hi, Jerry. What's going on?
Hello, Brother Todd. So a quick aside before my main question. I think the liberals and the Muslims, I don't know how to say it, they don't want to release or lead to the identity of the brown shooter, because they like to intimidate locally, but they don't want to get the ire of the sleepy masses who are comfy on their couches. I mean, the sermons might get a little too specific. So, I mean, that's what you're asking to come into community. But the main reason I'm calling is I wanted to ask you about the Chick-fil-A situation. I mean, what's going on? Are they switching to, like, dude filet? I mean, if I go to the menu and I look up on the board, you know, maybe it's like I'll have the trans filet. And the main reason I'm worried about this is because of hormones in the meat. So are the chicken breasts, are they going to be smaller now? I mean, I'm worried about biting into a sandwich and finding out it's really a cock-a-doodle-doo. And so this is news to me. I just found out. And, you know, maybe their chickens should be some kind of a Muslim sacrifice, because I really don't like this whole change, this DEI thing. Could you kind of recap that a little bit?
Well, sure. And if you missed the story, and we're going to talk about it tonight on Newsmax, but the story is Chick-fil-A, at least a franchise in Utah, has embraced and celebrated same-sex marriage, and the corporate headquarters is now affirming that. So they've clearly had a change in their philosophies and their belief system on that. I would contend, though, this is not a matter of a chick becoming a dude. I think this is more of a trans poultry issue. And I say that because Chick-fil-A, you know, introduced the cauliflower sandwich. And so that was the cauliflower identified as a chicken at the time. And of course, that just did not work. It was not a, it actually had an aftertaste before you bit into it. So there you go, Cherry. Did he say cock-a-doodle too? Oh, I don't think you can say that on the radio, Jerry. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of the Big Show coming up, I think.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. This is pretty exciting. President Trump announcing just a really grand celebration for America 250. And 2026 is going to be filled with all sorts of amazing things. So, first of all, the largest fireworks display in the world planned in our nation's capital. Also, a state fair on the National Mall. And we're also going to have UFC fight at the White House on Flag Day. Dylan, that's going to be a lot of fun.
I forgot about that. That we're doing the UFC fight. That's awesome.
It's going to be pretty cool. Yeah, that's going to be hosted by Dana White, who's the head honcho over at UFC. The Great American State Fair is going to have representation from all 50 states on the National Mall and will anchor the July 4th festivities as President Trump reprises the salute to America. Also, the president is going to erect a ginormous triumphal arch. He says that the construction would start in the very near future, and a statue garden featuring American heroes. This is all very exciting, but the thing that really gets me is that the president is planning something called, are you ready for this, Dylan? Patriot Games.
Ooh.
So they're going to, is it going to be sort of like Hunger Games? I don't know.
This is like the Olympics, but patriotic maybe?
But patriotic. So it's all athletic. The president is going to select the greatest high school athletes across the nation. Nice. One young man and one young woman from each state and territory. Wait a second. This...
I know exactly what you're thinking.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, it's going to be a four-day event called Patriot Games, which will take place during the fall. And the president saying that there will be no men playing in women's sports. I should hope not. People are now comparing it to the Hunger Games. Brian Tyler Cohen, a far-left political commentator, says, "We asked for affordable health care, and Republicans are giving us the Hunger Games." I kind of like the idea. You know what? Why can't we salute the best of the brightest? Why can't we get out there and honor the best that each state has to offer? I think this is going to be a massive success. That's what I think it's going to be. And I don't know about you, but I'm proud to be an American. Always have been. My country, right or wrong, ladies and gentlemen, right or wrong, my country. So good for you, President Trump. And thank you for making America not only great again, but making America matter. America is, like he said last night in his speech, like the hottest country on earth. I mean, it is. We're good. By the way, tonight, the Todd Starnes Show, 5 o'clock on Newsmax. Millions of people are now tuning into Newsmax, watching us on cable, going to our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, downloading our free Newsmax app on their smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we are now one of the top news brands in the nation. Every night you can watch great shows. Rob Fenerty, Carl Higbee, yours truly. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest growing news channel in America. Make the switch today and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming. Download the free app today. Takes just seconds to start. and let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax, real news for real people. Well, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. What do you think about the president's America 250 celebrations? We're going to have to broadcast from D.C. That's all there is to it. That's what we're going to have to do. Have you heard this crazy story out of California? There was a woman, and she approached an elderly worker at Target. And it was pretty horrifying. The woman was wearing some sort of a Charlie Kirk shirt. And somebody came over, a woman came over, and her name is Michaela Ponce. And she started filming and harassing and cursing out this elderly woman because she was wearing a Charlie Kirk shirt. It's insane. So anyway, the CEO, it turns out the woman, the attacker, works for a healthcare organization. Here is the head of that healthcare organization talking about the employee. Cut one.
Enloe Health acknowledges that the off-hours behavior by a medical assistant employed in one of our outpatient clinics, as depicted in a recent social media post, was abhorrent and deeply concerning for our caregivers, our organization, and our community. The target employee who was verbally accosted in this post deserves significant credit for handling the situation in a calm and collected manner. We appreciate the many individuals who have seen this post and exercised restraint as they voiced their personal views regarding the situation. Unfortunately, many thousands of others have chosen to use profanity-laced language to express their disapproval to Enloe caregivers. Apart from being unfair to our staff, these comments have overwhelmed our phone systems, impeding our ability to serve patients and their families. Rest assured, the behavior depicted in this video does not mirror Enloe Health's core values, and we are committed to doing what is right by taking the actions necessary to protect our patients and community. At this time, we ask for patience, grace, and civility as we do so. As part of our policy and commitment to confidentiality, Enloe Health does not provide comments or statements regarding individual employees or personnel matters. However, comments can be shared directly through a dedicated phone messaging system. That number is 530-332-9818 or using email share@enloe.org. That's S-H-A-R-E.
Okay, I've had enough of this, moron. So look, boo-hoo, sir. Sorry, I don't feel sorry for you at all. You people get what you deserve. Hiring tyrants like this woman. By the way, I want to tell you a little bit about the Target lady. She was wearing the Charlie Kirk Freedom T-shirt. It's red, and they're allowed to do that at Target. They interviewed her. The local media there in California interviewed her. Her name is Jeannie Beeman. And Miss Beeman is a very kind-hearted elderly woman. And she said, you know what? I don't want this woman to lose her job. She goes, I don't know who she was. I don't know what she was doing. She says, two wrongs don't make a right. You know, she wronged me, but I don't want to wrong her, or I don't want her wrong because it's not going to make it right. Okay, I think that makes sense. But I hear what she's saying. But you can't go around and treat people like this. Michaela Ponce is a nurse at Enloe Health, and she's the one who filmed the profanity-laced video. Here's Dylan, I have the greatest fear of this happening. You know, God forbid, I got to go back into the hospital with a heart issue, and I get a leftist nurse. I mean, I actually, you know, I'm sorry, but I do actually think about that. Is my healthcare, and that's why it took me forever to find a doctor, because you don't want a doctor who's a leftist, because in the back of your minds, when he says, oh, yeah, you're fit as a fiddle. No, you don't have diabetes. You don't have high blood pressure. Yeah, I don't have high cholesterol. Get on out there, live your life. Eat another cheeseburger, Starnes. Something would cause me to doubt some of what he said.
It's sad you have to think about that, though.
Right? It is. It really is. Because, I mean, this is especially the nurses. I mean, some of these nurses are slap crazy. And it's always the nurses. and the male nurses. They're the ones. I mean, they post all the videos talking about how, you know, they would not give a patient their medicine. Oh, my God. I feel like I need to have an emergency Barack Hussein Obama, like, hope and change T-shirt that I can just have on my person at all times. So if, you know, I keel over, they're like, oh, wow, he's an Obama supporter. Get everything. Get all the team together. We've got to do whatever we can to save this life.
Excellent strategy, Todd.
Well, remember what happened when I fell and broke my ankle?
Yes.
In downtown Memphis?
Yes.
That godforsaken HOA that doesn't keep up their sidewalks. And I felt I was wearing the red MAGA hat. Nobody stopped. I'm sprawled out on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Nobody stopped.
You need a backup opposite hat.
I would have had a Biden or Kamala, a bottle of Josh.
Yeah. Bottle of Josh. Hey, I drink Josh. Stand down.
I wouldn't have admitted that.
Well, my mother knows. It's all that matters.
Does the wife know?
She knows.
That's matters.
She started it, if that helps.
Okay. Well, that does help.
I just, you know.
I'm not going to judge.
I participate.
Where do you cook your collard greens?
in the correct place, okay, not the bathtub.
Not the bathtub. All right. I'm just checking here.
I'm fine, Todd. Don't worry about
it. I'm good. Thank you, Dylan. Appreciate that. So anyway, all that to say, yes, I feel very weird that this woman is a nurse and she treats people like that in public. And I would be very concerned. I don't know about you. Am I paranoid about this? Because I think we're living in a day and age where liberals will want to cause you harm or discomfort, whether that be, let's say you've got a far left car mechanic. I think most car mechanics are pretty conservatives. But, I mean, you know, are they really giving you the best service is what I'm trying to get at. This is honestly, and in all honesty here, I used to eat out quite a bit. It's just a lot more convenient because of my busy schedule and the fact that I'm one person. So I, you know, you don't like to cook for multiple people. I do not eat out as much hardly at all. And one of the reasons why is I'm really concerned that somebody might put something in the food. And I've heard that from others that are conservative and that are on TV, that are in the pundit world, that are pretty well known, and it's the same thing with them. They either cook at home and don't go out, or they go to a specific place where they know and trust the people that are preparing their food. And it's really sad you have to live in this kind of a country, kind of like poor Jacob York over at Olivet Nazarene. And what's going on with the Nazarenes, by the way? Bunch of far leftists over there. But it's really sad that you live in a country now where conservatives, this is life. This is what persecution is looking like in the United States of America. It's not a pretty look, by the way. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Well, we have some breaking news out of Chandler, Arizona. The Chandler Primary North School. Dylan just brought this to my attention. This is a doozy. The Chandler Primary North School in Arizona emailing students and parents, rather, to inform them that one of their male teachers was transitioning to a female. I want to read the email to you. Dear parents, I'm writing to share an update regarding our physical education teacher, Coach Jarman. Coach Jarman has recently undergone a personal transition and will now be known as Lily. I'm sorry. Why is that funny? What?
It's always Lily.
It's always Lily. I was thinking Marge.
Marge.
Darlene. Students may continue to use coach when addressing the staff member. The school district follows all non-discrimination policies, including those related to gender, and remains committed to providing a respectful and supportive environment for every student and employee. Please take a moment to let your child know that Coach Lily... I can't. Please take a moment to let your child know that Coach Lily's appearance has changed. Oh, I think that's going to be pretty noticeable. The school goes on, we want to make sure PE classes can continue smoothly without unnecessary questions. Coach, what happened to your balls? Oh, the basketball, sir, we can't find them anywhere. We've looked high and low. Basketballs. Coach Lilly's focus remains on teaching and supporting students in PE. If you have any questions, please feel free to email me. I'm also happy to schedule a phone call. And by the way, in case any of you want to, I mean, the guy actually listed the phone number here, 480-798-6447. If you want to reach out to the school district. I mean, at some point, if you don't actually know your physical identity, should you really be a physical education coach? That's what I'm wondering here. So we'll keep you updated on all that. But good luck. Yet again, ladies and gentlemen, another reason why you should consider homeschooling your children. All right, coming up, we're going to play some audio. This is brilliant. An American patriot went off on illegal aliens. This was out in California. And I think the American people are just reaching this point of exasperation. They've had it. They're done. They're tired of their tax dollars going to take care of all these other people that are not from here. And people are just sick and tired of it. And they're ready to move on. So we're going to play some of that coming up in the next segment. Also, here's CNN's Harry Enten talking about the Democrat approval ratings. Cut 12.
That's right now.
Yeah, I mean, Democrats in the minds of the American public are lower than the Dead Sea. What are we talking about here? Well, let's take a look.
Lower
the net approval
than
the rating
Dead
for Democrats
sea.
In Congress. You said it, Kate Baldwin. The lowest ever. Look at this. Overall, they are 55 points underwater. Their approval rating is south of 20%. It's even worse when you look at independents. Look at this. Negative 61 points. That means that their approval rating is 61 points lower than their disapproval rating. Quinnipiac has been polling this question for the better part of the 21st century. They have never found Democrats, at least those in Congress, in worse shape than they are right now.
That's independents and overall, but what about Democrats on Democrats?
Yeah, what about Democrats on Democrats? So part of the reason overall is so low is independents are driving it low. But that's not the only reason it's so low. What about Democrats on Democrats? Democrats net approval rating of congressional Democrats. I want you to keep in mind, they had never rated Democrats negatively until this year. And right now, what are we talking about? We're talking about a net approval rating from Democrats. This is Democrats on Democrats. Their approval rating is actually lower than the disapproval rating. And that is quite the drop from October. I think during the shutdown, there was a bit of a boost for Democrats, right? There was a rallying around the flag effect going on. But Democrats did not like how that shutdown turned out. They have returned against Democrats in Congress. And you mentioned Dan Goldman in that intro. One of the reasons that Dan Goldman is in trouble right now in a potential primary against Brad Ladner is because at this point, the Democratic base is so upset with Democrats. So even if Democrats take back Congress, don't be surprised if Dan Goldman ain't there because of numbers like this one.
There you go. Well said, CNN. It's over for the Democrats. Oh, this item just coming in from the White House. They have officially renamed. This is the Kennedy Center Board of Directors. They voted to rename the Kennedy Center in honor of President Trump. According to White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt, it will now be known as the Trump Kennedy Center. Your reaction to that and more coming up. We'll be right back. And welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Great to visit with Congressman David Kustoff yesterday on the Newsmax show. Let's take a listen to that conversation. Joining me now, Congressman David Kustoff, a Republican from Tennessee. Congressman, you were in that room last night. What was that like to hear the president utter those words?
Todd, thank you for having me. Well, first of all, it's an honor any time to be at the White House, especially for a holiday party. I was at the Hanukkah party last night, as you mentioned, one of the other parties last week. By the way, for those people watching, the White House is beautifully decorated for Christmas time and for the holidays. But to be in that room, in the East Room of the White House, Todd, where the president talked about the nation's support for Israel, condemning very, very strongly anti-Semitism with the likes of Mark Levin, for example, who was there last night, who proclaimed President Trump is the first Jewish president because of his strong stance of Israel and for the Jewish people. It was very heartening. And there were Jewish people in the East Room of the White House from all around the nation who were there to celebrate Hanukkah with him, to hear the president's words. The president didn't hold back, and he talked about, obviously, his strong support of Jewish Americans and the United States' commitment to Israel.
You know, the president also lamented that Congress is becoming anti-Semitic. Who do you think he was talking about there?
Well, I think he said it. He talked about members of the squad specifically, and he singled some of them out. He talked about that coming from the left side. I will note that there were some non-Jewish Congress people who were there. There were at least one or two Democrats that were there. And, you know, again, he condemned those who are on the left side, those Democrats, those members of the squad. But he talked about how more prevalent anti-Semitism is becoming in the United States Congress. And he, unfortunately, he's right. And it's a sad indictment, a sad statement. But I think he called it out, Todd, and he called it out correctly.
You know, Congressman Randy Fine was on my show yesterday, and he says America is under a direct threat from what he called mainstream Muslims. Let's take a listen.
Well, I think we have to say that we have had enough and we have to stop letting them in, which President Trump has expanded today. He has said no more so-called Palestinians coming into the country. We need to send all of them home that are here. And then for people like Ilhan Omar, who engage in immigration fraud to become Americans, we need to prosecute, denaturalize and deport. The future of Western civilization is at stake here. And the question is, have we had enough? How many more people have to die?
Do you disagree with anything the congressman just said?
Well, I don't know about deporting everybody. I will say that, you know, they refer to Randy Fine as the Hebrew Hammer. And I think that's he's got the appropriate name. But look, we do have a problem in the country. We do have a problem with those who don't necessarily identify. And look, this anti-Semitism issue is really becoming more prevalent. It's becoming more prevalent on the left side of the aisle. And I don't want to condemn everybody because we have some very, very strong members of the House of Representatives on the Democrat side who will call this stuff out. And I'm proud of them. And I support them. But as we hear this becoming more and more common, it's for people like me and Randy Fine to call them out. And we'll continue to do that.
Congressman Steve Cohen, who represents a good swath of Memphis, catching a little bit of heat for something he said today, saying about illegal aliens in Tennessee. He says even if they did come into the country illegally, they are necessary and needed. And he said that criminal illegal aliens should be allowed to stay in this country. What say you to that?
Yeah. Well, I think illegal aliens are illegal aliens. You know, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, I think that we support people who come through this country the right way, the lawful way. And we have plenty of those people in our community and across the nation who work hard to earn their citizenship or to get their green card. But if people are here illegally, if they've crossed that border unlawfully, then you know, we had an election last year, and one reason that Donald Trump was elected by the margins that he was elected was because people wanted to see something done about unlawful immigration, those people who are here illegally. And Donald Trump has accomplished that goal. He has essentially shut down the southern border. The majority of American people agree with him. The majority of the people, Todd, in those seven swing states agree with him, and that's why they voted for him. So if you're not here legally, you're not here lawfully, you should be deported.
All right. That was Congressman David Kostoff on the Newsmax show last night. And I want to bring you up to speed. We, again, have some breaking news to share with you. People Magazine now confirming NASCAR driver Greg Biffle, his wife, and their children were on board that plane that crashed earlier this morning in North Carolina, Statesville, North Carolina. Authorities said that a plane belonging to Biffle, 55, crashed while landing at Statesville Regional Airport, 10:20 a.m. Eastern Time. The FAA confirmed the crash to People Magazine, said an investigation was underway. Shortly after the news broke, NASCAR driver and a longtime friend of Biffle's, Garrett Mitchell, known as the internet personality Cletus McFarland, said it was Biffle and his family on the plane. Here's what Mitchell wrote. Unfortunately, I can confirm Greg Biffle, his wife Christina, their daughter Emma, and son Ryder were on that plane because they were on their way to spend the afternoon with us. We are devastated. I am sorry to share this. So that information just coming out on People Magazine. Greg Biffle, NASCAR driver, a great humanitarian to the people of Western North Carolina, has perished in a plane crash. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Dylan, this is pretty much consuming all of social media. Everybody, you know, all the accolades coming in for Greg Biffle and his wife and kids. This is going to be a huge, huge loss for NASCAR.
Yeah, huge. And the fact that he was such a great humanitarian, and he did over 140, you know, flights with, you know, via helicopter, just supplying supplies and everything you need to, you know, rescue people from the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. It's just incredible what he did, and yeah, this will be a big loss.
Now, Fox 8 out of Charlotte reporting on this as well. We also understand Congressman Richard Hudson is confirming the information we just shared with you as well. The plane had apparently taken off from this regional airport in Statesville when there was some sort of there was an issue with the plane. There had been some reporting that perhaps a door open light had been activated. There was a very quick attempt to return back to the airport. Conditions were very bad, and apparently they hit a tree line before they were able to reach the airport. I want to read this from Congressman Richard Hudson, who represents District 9 in Congress, and he wrote this. The congressman also, a member of the House GOP leadership, says, I'm devastated by the loss of Greg, Christina, and their children. My heart is with all who, who love them. They were friends who lived their lives focused on helping others. Greg was a great NASCAR champion who thrilled millions of fans, but he was an extraordinary person as well and will be remembered for his service to others as much as for his fearlessness on the track. The Biffles flew hundreds of rescue missions in western North Carolina after Hurricane Helene. The last time I spoke with Christina just a couple of weeks ago, she reached out to ask how she could help with relief efforts in Jamaica. That's who the Biffles were. Our prayers are with their family, friends, and everyone grieving this unimaginable loss. This is just truly a huge, huge loss for not only North Carolina, but of course, for the NASCAR family as well. So again, that information coming to us from Congressman Richard Hudson. And if you'd like to weigh in on the passing of Greg Biffle, especially all you folks in North Carolina, WHKP over in Hendersonville, the amount of work they did just helping people, ministering to people, and reaching out to people in need, that really is truly who they are. And I think that's one of the reasons why people love NASCAR so much. It's that sort of spirit, helping your neighbors, that really exudes the NASCAR spirit. Wow, what a terrible loss. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, I have to remind you about our good friends over at Patriot Mobile, America's only wireless service that's owned by Christians and conservatives. And when you're doing business with Patriot Mobile, you're actually doing business with people who are Christians and conservative, and they use their profits to help out other ministries. They're firm supporters of the pro-life movement and the Second Amendment as well. So it's very simple to switch, and I would encourage you to go check them out, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. It is very simple to switch over. No hassle. You can keep your number, you keep your phone, or you can upgrade. Their customer service team is based right here in America. They actually hire Christian college kids to run their call centers. So you're going to be talking with great young people as they work with you and to get you into a new phone. By the way, if you're stuck in a contract or owe money on your phone, no worries at all. Patriot Mobile has a contract buyback program as well. This is how we win, ladies and gentlemen, by aligning our spending with our values. Every dollar we spend matters, and that's why I want you to check out patriotmobile.com/Todd or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. Use my promo code Todd and get a free month of service. Again, patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT and be sure to use that promo code Todd. All right, I want to play this audio. This is from California, and you've got a patriot just going off on illegal aliens who are basically flooding this poor guy's city. He's actually, as he's speaking, he's holding a giant American flag. Cut number 7, please.
Hold on. Hold on. Sir, it's your turn. You've got 3 minutes.
Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Andrew Torres. I'm here to speak.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. Everybody, no.
Let the man speak.
He's got his 3 minutes. Let's give him his 3 minutes.
Can I restart my time?
Sure.
Yeah, thank you. Restart my time. Thank you.
Go ahead.
So, please. You know, in the United States, I know most of you are probably from Mexico where you don't have the First Amendment, but that's something we have here where we have the right to freedom of speech. And I just wanted to say something too. It's true. You guys don't have a First Amendment. You don't have respect for civil liberties or rights, but that's okay. I'm speaking. Thank you. So anyways, the point I'd like to make here is a couple things. One, these people here are, you know, passionately talking about ICE agents coming into their communities and you don't know their identities. Well, you know who we really don't know the identities of? Any of the illegal aliens who've been invading our country for the past 60 years.
Wow.
Yeah, how about when you see the farm worker, is that going to be like the same farm worker that murdered Molly Tibbetts?
That's a true story.
Yeah, how do you know when the Honduran fruit seller is out there? How do you know he didn't one of the many women who came up here? According to the Univision study done in 2015, 80% of women who come to this country are trafficked and think about that. How do we know they're not one of those?
Excuse me.
So that's the first thing. That's the first thing. I think ICE should be allowed to act with impunity. I think they should go to every Home Depot. I think they should go to every school, every quinceanera, and build the wall and deport every single one of these guys, because they don't make our country great. They make it worse. They bring it down. They use public services, and Americans are sick and tired of it. We're sick and tired of it in our country. So let me say this, too. We want to, you know, they say you want to know the identities of these ICE agents. We don't know any of the identities of these murderers coming into our country, these. Let me also say this, too. This same city council in Costa Mesa, if you vote to make these people take their masks off, this was the same city that was arresting people for refusing to wear masks during COVID. So now what is it? Now what is it? When we want to enforce the law and take our country back, you want to put the men in danger? Is that what you want to do? No. And let me mention this. Let me end on this. Let me end on this. Let me end on this.
Let me end on this. Excuse me, let's hear the man.
Let the man speak.
Let let me say this. You know, people are out here quoting Martin Luther King. They're out here saying other things. I'm gonna give a quote from John Jay. He signed the Treaty of Paris in our American Revolution, and from Federalist Number 2. With equal pleasure, I have as taken often notice that Providence has been blessed to give this country to one united people, a people descended from the same ancestors, speaking the same language, professing the same religion, attached to the same principles of government, very similar in their manners and customs, and who, by their joint councils, arms, and efforts, fighting side by side throughout a long and bloody war.
That's your 3 minutes, sir.
Oh, that's sort of depressing, isn't it? They cut the guy off before he reached his climactic moment. The U.S. Your time has expired. And they cut him off. Ah, poor guy. You know what? I think he speaks for a lot of Americans. I mean, this guy very passionate here, and I think a lot of people feel just like this guy does. Oh, we have some breaking news from the White House. This is exciting. I guess we may as well use it. We paid for it. We may as well use it.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starn Show.
All right, President Trump, ladies and gentlemen, has officially reclassified marijuana from Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3 drug, which places it in the same category as Tylenol with codeine. The president said marijuana can be legitimate in terms of medical applications when carefully administered. Prescription painkillers have legitimate uses, but can also do damage. I promise to be the president of common sense, and that's exactly what I am doing. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. No, you cannot smoke. No, he's not legalizing marijuana, so you can't go out and smoke a joint right now, ladies and gentlemen. All you folks listening to us in Denver, just hold up for a second. So that's going to make a lot of people very, very happy. I think the president's going to be issuing some and dropping some big executive orders and announcements as we get closer to the midterms that will make a lot of people happy. So there you go. One person writing in, as a former hospice nurse and forever patient advocate, I am thrilled by this news. Another says now the farmers and producers can get financing. Oh, now I know what I can do with that 30 acres where the radio towers are. All right, there you go. All right, folks, we've got to scoot out of here. It has been a great day, busy day. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Be good, everybody.